Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, joined by David Beauclair, filling in for Jared Stillman today. We had some updated NFL power rankings on ESPN.com. The Titans formerly sitting at number 3. They have a new spot in the power rankings. Have you seen them, or are we going to guess where the Titans currently sit?
I haven't looked at ESPN specifically. I've seen a few. Typically, Titans right now, it seems like they're around 8 to 10 in most people's, the ones I've looked at.
Currently sit at 8 in ESPN's power rankings, but I saw the Athletics and a few other power rankings, you know, around town have put the Titans at a similar spot. Formerly in ESPN's power rankings, they were at 3. But can't blame them. Now the Titans currently sit at 8-4, sitting behind the Bills at 7, Chiefs at 6, Patriots at 5, Ravens at 4, Bucks 3, Cardinals 2, and Packers 1. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah. If you do these rankings, the Titans have to be a headache for you.
Oh,
because,
I'm sure.
Because they have a good record. They're first in their division. They're third in the conference. But you look at the roster as it stands right now, and you say, "Well, that's not a top 10 team." But you put them in the bottom part of the top 10 because their record says they belong there, and you kind of see what happens, I guess, from there.
I mean, first and foremost, power rankings essentially mean nothing.
Right.
It's a fun story to paint throughout the season and to see where the rest of the teams go from there. But so that aside, how much do we really put into these power rankings knowing that the Titans are putting out essentially a practice squad roster out in the field?
Yeah, for the Titans, the whole deal right now, as far as I see it, the whole deal is stay ahead of the Colts. You've got a 2-game lead in the division, plus you have the tiebreaker against them with 5 to play. That's a pretty good position. Mm-hmm. I think if you're the Titans, any thoughts of finishing first in the conference, getting the bye in the opening weekend of the playoffs, that's gone.
You think?
I think so. I mean, it's unrealistic. We'll put it that way.
Who do you think ends up getting the first round bye, or who do you think is still in contention for the first round bye?
It's funny to me because we talk about how just battered the Titans are, and you said it earlier that the bye week probably came a couple weeks too late, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. People are it wasn't at all a topic of conversation last year, but guess what? New England hasn't had its bye yet either and has a game this week. They're playing 13 straight. They play Buffalo on Monday night in a huge game for them, and guess what? Then they get a bye week, and their roster is such that they can actually exhale, take a breath, and it feels like they can just really load up for the final 4 games of the regular season. And I feel like New England's the one sitting in the catbird seat right now as far as that goes, because they've gotten to this point with the record that they do and a roster that's largely intact, not beat up like the Titans. So they're not going to be putting this thing back together over the last 4 weeks of the season. They are actually going to just come out of their bye week, I think, hell bent for leather. So I think if you're the Titans, stay ahead of the Colts, get yourself a home playoff game, because you feel like you've got a pretty good chance to win a home playoff game. I think everybody feels that way. Then, funny things are going to happen in the first week of the playoffs. You see how things shake out from there. But if you can, I think at this point, if you can do that, that would be a successful remainder of the regular season for the Titans. Whatever that looks like. If you finish 9-8 and you still win the division, great. If you put this thing back together, you go 11-6 and win the division by 3 games, great too. Whatever it looks like, just stay ahead of the Colts.
And let's say hypothetically, because the timeline for Derrick Henry is completely up in the air. We heard 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and we'll reevaluate from there. If Derrick Henry is able to come back before the end of the regular season, let's say Dolphins is what, week 16, 15?
17.
If he's able to come back for the Dolphins game, do you think that the Titans have put themselves in a good enough position, and if they don't dig themselves in any more holes, that they could end up with, You already said they're not going to get that first round bye, but with the most opportune situation for them, consider without a first round bye.
You know, again, yeah, I think if you get a home, I mean, the way it's set up these days, if you just get a home game, that's about as good as you can hope for other than the bye, because the playoffs are going to be a long haul for virtually everybody. Mm-hmm. I think you're a little optimistic on Henry there. I think, you know.
I would say
foot,
so, too.
You know, foot injury for a running back and a big running back at that. I've seen a lot of those types of injuries where the guys are never the same. And even if he does come back, say he comes back for the start of the playoffs, which would give everybody a boost in a lot of ways. This was still an injury that probably was the result of wear and tear, right? I mean, we're not going to see, or it would be fool. I guess I can't say we're not, but it would be foolhardy to think that Derrick Henry's going to carry the ball 28, 30 times in a game. I mean, I think even if he makes it back at any point this year, you're still going to have to be really careful with him. Everything I've read said that if you come back even a little bit too soon, the possibility of re-injury is massive with this kind of thing,
which would then put him out for the remainder of the playoffs, yeah. And then poof.
I think that would be even worse, is to get him in there and he plays a quarter and a half and then gets hurt again. Like that would just take the air out of the bubble completely. I think you're better served just keeping him out as long as possible, maybe even longer than you think you should, and if you do get him back in there, make sure he can keep going when he does.
We'll go to your phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a Titans thought, but Ben texts in and says, I would have guessed that the Titans would have sat at 16-20 until they get their players healthy.
I think that's more respect to the Titans' record than their roster is the way most of these power rankings folks look at them.
And I do think that is a bit of a nod to the Titans in the fact that they're sitting at 8, and I don't know exactly what goes into all of these playoff rankings. I have to doubt that they look at injuries so intently that they would drop or raise the Titans considering the injuries. But the fact that the Titans are still sitting at 8th best team in the power rankings, considering that they are without a majority of their first string roster.
They've convinced
and that fans
people,
think they could be at 20th best in
right.
the NFL.
They've convinced people that they can win even with injuries. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of other teams, if you take away Julio Jones, AJ Brown, Derrick Henry, those types of players that they would get dropped significantly. And let's be honest, I mean, the AFC right now is incredible. There are 12 teams at 500 or better. It's never happened in 12 weeks into the NFL season. So, you know, there's lots of reason. There's lots of teams out there that you could identify and say, well, you know, that's a really good team right now, or mm-hmm. that's a team that has a chance to, you know, if I want to show how smart I am, I'll rank them high now, and maybe they'll make me look good at the end of the season. But there, you know, this is the Titans have. They in going 8-2, they created a pretty good margin for error for themselves. The last 2 weeks, that margin for error has shrunk significantly when you look at the number of teams still very much in contention for a playoff spot.
Well, they played so well that they were able to afford a couple big goofs
right.
later on in the season, that they're not digging themselves in a hole that's undiggable, which I think the Colts may have dug themselves in a hole that was a little bit difficult to get out of, but the Titans are sitting pretty at the top spot in the division. But now it's getting to the point where the Titans can't afford right. any more goofs.
But the good news is, you know, they have a win over Kansas City head to head, which is going to be big come tiebreaker time. They've got a win over Buffalo head to head, which is going to be big come tiebreaker time. They've got the 2 over Indianapolis, which is going to be big come tiebreaker time. They've got they've got a chance to beat Pittsburgh, which is 5-5-1 at this point, 11th in the conference standings if they manage to make a move. So the Titans, you know, everybody's ringing their, how could you lose to the Jets? How could you lose to the Texans? Well, as bad as they are, the wins are actually going to help the Titans a lot more. You know, they've won the right games mm-hmm. if it comes down to tiebreakers.
They've won the right games, but what are the games that they have to continue to win. And what is going to be the Titans' road to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl? Coming up next, David and I will take a look at the rest of the Titans' schedule. Games do we think they should win? What games should they win? What games do we think they could potentially get a loss? We'll take a look at that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, David Beauclair, and for Jared Stillman. Stillman & Company, we are live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we are streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Mike, how needed is this bye week, and how realistic is it to think that, you know, how healthy can you get over this period?
Well, I think we can get healthier. I think it is, it's needed. I think it's, just from the injury standpoint, just from kind of, you know, where we've been the last 2 weeks, which has been very, uncharacteristic. Just some of the things that we've done as a football team. But then also I think it's going to be real critical to get some guys back. It doesn't look like, that we're playing with the same sort of speed, that we had, a few weeks ago or 3 or 4 weeks ago. So, I'm very hopeful that it's going to help us and that everybody will be able to get ready here to get back to work for Jacksonville.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the Titans' upcoming bye week, saying, hey, it's much needed. I would say very much so it was needed. It was probably needed a couple weeks ago. But regardless, it is here and gives the Titans some opportunity to rest, heal, whatever was causing those sloppy mistakes, perhaps some time off, is able to patch up a few of those mistakes and a few of those injuries, and they will be ready to go to play the Jacksonville Jaguars following the bye week. In the last segment, we were talking about ESPN's updated power rankings. And at the break, David, Ian, and I were talking about how this season, more so than any other season in the past, it's kind of seemed like this is the parity that the NFL has wanted over the past few years. Because, the best teams in the league are getting beaten by the worst teams in the league. And there's so much head-to-head and so much back and forth in the NFL this year. And I know I probably say it every year, but this season's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about the AFC last segment. The NFC, 14 of the 16 teams, you can say, are very much in the playoff chase right now. The only two you would say are out of it are Seattle and Detroit right now. And Seattle's not completely out of it because they've got Russell Wilson, right? Like, that's a team that you're still thinking, well, maybe, things have gone terrible for them, but they could get on a roll. It is, the Titans are not, even best case scenario, it's tough to imagine them going 5-0 coming out of this break, because that's just not the way the NFL is right now.
We can take a look at the rest of the Titans season, see exactly we think the Titans will end up coming out of the season. So coming up, they have the bye week and then the Jags, Steelers, 49ers, Dolphins, and Texans. David, in your opinion, Jags coming into Nashville following the bye week, we always say it's a must win, it's a should win, should lose, or a will lose. In your opinion, Jags at Titans following the bye week, must win, should lose, or will lose?
Must win, because, like you said, Titans gave themselves enough of a cushion that, as disappointing as it was, they could lose to Houston. I think if somehow, and this it would be a huge somehow to me, if somehow they lose to Jacksonville coming off this bye that everybody has been counting on, then folks are going to start to panic a little bit. And I know the Jags are better than they were back in week five, but this is a game that the Titans absolutely have to have, restore a little bit of confidence and make them feel like, yep, we're good, we're pointed toward the end of the regular season now.
And I think, you lose the game to the Jets, that was a goof, we can get back from it. You lose to the Texans, you got a ton of injured players, you just need to get to the bye week. You lose to the Jags at home coming off of a bye week, at what point does that become a mistake, and at what point does that become, that's just who you are?
At this point in the season, exactly, yeah.
The next game, Titans on the road at Pittsburgh playing the Steelers. Must win, should lose, will lose.
I'm going to say should lose just because Pittsburgh in December, tough place to play. Especially if the Steelers are still battling for something at that point. That could be a really critical game for them. Excuse me. They Yeah, I think that's sort of the most dangerous game.
And
remaining for the Titans here.
If I were to choose in the five remaining games in the Titans schedule, if I were to choose one, I would say that is the most likely game for the Titans to lose. I mean, the Steelers haven't been playing outstanding as of late. They're what you said, 5-5-1. So I think if the Titans were to have one more blemish on the rest of their schedule, it would be the Steelers. But I'm going to call this one a should win. I mean, on the road in Pittsburgh, it's going to be freezing. And we know that Tannehill doesn't play very well in the cold. But if you want to set yourself up for the best possible position in the playoffs, I think the Titans know that if that is going to be the toughest game on their schedule and they win that one, it's just so much more more momentum going into their next game, which I think actually will be a bit of a tougher opponent than some people may be letting on, and that's 49ers coming into Nashville. Now, that's a tough road trip for the 49ers, so I'm going to call this one as well a should win for the Titans against the 49ers.
I will too, but this is an underrated aspect again of the bye week, mm-hmm. and what the Titans can get out of this. This, of course, is a Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a Thursday night game for the 49ers, too, and the 49ers are going to have to travel cross-country.
And both teams are coming off a short rest.
But right. So, but coming out of the bye week, Titans are going to play three games in 11 days. You know, they're going to get pressed right back into a physically daunting situation against a team that is unpredictable but is a pretty physical football team fairly consistently and is going to challenge the Titans. I agree this is a dangerous one. This is a should win, though. The good news for the Titans is San Francisco had its bye way back in week 5. Mm-hmm. This is going to be their 10th straight game and playing on a short week and flying across country. So this might be a good time to really take a shot and hammer somebody there at home.
And I do think that I said that this should be a more difficult opponent than a lot of people may be letting on, because I think the 49ers are just starting to peak. They had a tough go at it coming into the season, and then we saw the 49ers blow out the Rams on Monday Night Football. I mean, that's not something that I would take lightly, especially considering that Rams win for the Titans was something that we really applauded them for. Now, we've since learned, since the Titans beat the Rams, that they maybe not as good as we thought they would.
Exactly.
As good as we thought they were. But for the 49ers to go out there and beat the Rams in the way that they did, I don't feel like that's an accident.
No, and that's why I say they're a physical team. They mm-hmm. can push you around. It's kind of what the Titans did to the Rams in a lot of ways. You know, they just got after them, and that's why I say whatever recuperation the Titans get out of this week, it's going to be gone by the end of that game, because they're, you know, it's right back into a tough situation, and that might be the one that swings this remaining five games for them.
Dolphins at Titans. Must win, should lose, will lose.
Must win. Last home game. You'll have the extended break after having played Thursday the week before. Probably going to be cold. Mm-hmm. You got to figure Miami players aren't going to be real excited about playing in the cold, particularly if they're eliminated from the playoff race at that point or all but eliminated. So that's one that you have to win.
And if the two games before the Dolphins game, the Steelers and the 49ers, are kind of toss-up games, are going to be games that are the two most difficult remaining games in their schedule. If you lose one of those, you got to come back, and I think that's a must-win as well. And then finally, the Titans capping off the rest of their schedule, their regular season schedule, with the Texans on the road at Houston.
All depends on what the standings say. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't clinched anything at that point, if you haven't clinched the division, whatever, then you have to win. Exact a little revenge. Remind the Texans that you're a much better team than them. If you're out of the running for the number one overall seed, but you've got the division clinched, just give everybody the week off there. And then
if
who
you're
cares?
In a good spot,
yeah.
Right?
Just who cares? I mean, the Titans have sort of been in the situation the last couple of years where they have to do something late in the year. This would be a nice opportunity to just say, yeah, whatever the rest of the league's doing in week 18, we don't have to worry about it.
So from our forecasting, We expect the Titans to go 3-2 or 4-1 in their final remaining five games. So that would put the Titans in the position to be, what, 12-5? 11-6?
11-6 or, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So a pretty...
Which would be rock solid.
Would be rock solid for this team, especially considering how many injury woes that they have had to put up with. But coming up next, I will play a little game of Titans buy or sell with David. I will pose a few potential scenarios and see if David is buying it or selling it. Is it fact or fiction? We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a Titans thought, we're taking your Titans calls and your Titans text. The remainder of the show on Stillman & Company, live on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Some of the guys yesterday were talking about just confidence that they still have and look forward to coming off and feeling that. What's your take on the vibe about how they feel?
Well, I mean, I think we haven't really been together. You know, there are a lot of these guys, they're off today and they're getting treatment. Some of them are getting treatment. I've seen the ones that are, you know, that are getting treatment. And I think, you know, there's reasons to be confident. And I think that there's reasons to make sure that we cleaned up some details. I mean, you're just not going to win making as many mistakes as that we made. And even if there's some good plays on both sides of the ball. And, you know, and again, we've been through, you know, confidence comes from, you know, experiences, repeated experience, and there's a lot of good things in there, but there's some things where, you know, a guy can't catch a 4-yard route and, you know, run by three guys and have a couple guys loaf and one guy get blocked and turn it into a touchdown. You know, so I guess we all should have some confidence, but we also need to recognize that there's things that have to get fixed and corrected.
Join ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group as we team up this holiday season to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. More than 4,000 children in the metro area experience homelessness and over 18,000 in Middle Tennessee. The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Souls for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to these children who are experiencing homelessness. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's four locations now through the end of the year. We need your help to give these kids the joy and confidence they deserve. More information and to donate, thegamenashville.com/shoes. So, David, we've experienced a lot so far this season in the Titans season, but there's also, I mean, the best has yet to come for the Titans. So I'm going to get into a little game of Titans buy or sell with you.
Okay.
I'll read a statement. I don't necessarily agree with it or believe it.
Okay.
But you tell me if you're buying or selling it. So first and foremost, Julio Jones coming back healthy will be a huge contribution to this team.
I'll buy it if it happens, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think you know, the one thing, for all the disappointment that has surrounded Julio this year, he has produced on a yards per catch basis. He's averaged 16 yards per catch. He's one of the few guys on this team has a catch of 50 yards or more. You know, he's done that much, but I think he's an old wide receiver who's in his second straight year battling injuries. So I'm going to sell on the fact that he'll ever be fully healthy.
And I agree with you on, at this point, Julio is at the later end of his career. So getting 100% healthy may be a tall task. But when I ask it, will it be a huge contribution getting him back? I mean, a healthy Julio Jones or a Julio Jones that is healthy enough to play in a game obviously doesn't hurt the Titans. But I just don't know how much of a huge contribution it can be, because I don't know what Julio really can do. We've seen in the Seahawks game, he had a great game.
Yeah.
But he has yet to score a touchdown for the Titans. And it seems whenever he's out there and he's making plays, he quickly goes back out with an injury. Or, you know, he's not necessarily Tannehill's go-to guy. So if Julio is able to play, of course, that doesn't hurt the team. But I just don't know how much it really does help.
Yeah, I mean, if he can be 100%, he absolutely makes a big difference. But I think they're just going to have to pick their spots with him and get what they can out of him on certain days.
Second buy or sell, the Patriots are the best team in the AFC.
Talked about this a little bit. I am buying that right now. I think they're just playing the best football right now, and they're They've got a bye coming up. They have a lot of money. You know, they're doing the things that teams talk about in terms of winning the game. They take care of the football. They create turnovers on defense. They do well in the field position. You know, all the things that they typically did when they had possibly the greatest quarterback of all time. It still works when you have a rookie quarterback who's learning how to play the pro game. So I think yes, they are the best team in the AFC.
Buy or sell? Derrick Henry is the most missed player by the Titans right now, but Bud Dupree is a close second.
I buy that by a mile. I think you don't know what you're missing in Bud Dupree in a lot of ways. I think the thought was having Bud Dupree on that side would free up things for Harold Landry, but really Danico Autry I think has done more to create opportunities for Harold Landry, which he has seized upon. So I don't think it's a close second. I think Derrick Henry is far and away the most missed Titan this season because of injury.
And I would agree, but I would agree with you 100% that Derrick Henry by far is the most missed player. But I think that Bud Dupree not being out there is incredibly underrated, because I think Bud Dupree does so much for this defensive line that doesn't really get credit. And it doesn't necessarily show up in the box score, and it's not necessarily, you know, a sexy contribution. He's not getting sacks. He's not making huge tackles. But he puts so much pressure on the quarterback, and that allows the defense to kind of capitalize on that. For example, the Colts game. Elijah Molden doesn't get that interception in the end zone if Bud Dupree doesn't put pressure on Carson Wentz to get the ball out. And we've seen how this defensive line has played the past couple of weeks without Bud Dupree, and it hasn't been great. I mean, I would say that the defense single-handedly won that game against the Rams. We haven't seen a performance from the defense quite as good since Bud Dupree has been out.
Fair point. I'll give you that.
Another buy or sell.
Okay.
If the Titans host the Bills at home first round in the playoffs, that will be the only playoff game the Titans play.
I'm going to sell that because I think the Titans are in the Bills' heads after the last 2 years. You know, the Bills kind of haven't been the same team after the Titans beat them this year. And, that was a really good, really competitive game. Last year, of course, the Titans just whipped them up and down the field. I think the Titans reside in the Bills' heads a little bit. I'm going to sell that.
I just don't know. And I don't know what this Bills team necessarily is. At this point, I don't really know what any team in the AFC is. I don't know if they're good or not. I mean, I thought the Bills coming into this season, I predicted the Bills to go to the Super Bowl. And then they turn around and lose to the Jags. And, of course, every team in the NFL, it seems, is going to drop a game that they absolutely should not have. The Titans have done it twice. But I don't know. It makes me a little bit nervous. You know, the Bills coming back into Nissan Stadium, are they going to want a little bit of regular season revenge? I don't know. I think I sell on that for now, but, you know, I cautiously sell.
Could be similar to Baltimore last year. I mean, it's tough to beat a team twice in a year.
Yeah, especially a team with that much talent.
Yes.
Buy or sell? The Titans would be 10-2 right now if Derrick Henry was healthy.
I'll sell that. I still don't know that they would have gone into New England and won. Just human nature, 12 weeks getting into the bye, a road game, cold condition. I don't know how guys and I mean, that's part of what being a pro athlete is, their ability to compartmentalize things, but there had to be guys just looking ahead to the bye week last week. So I no doubt they would have beaten Houston, but I don't know that they would have beaten New England.
Buy or sell? It's time for the Titans to get back on the kicking carousel after Randy Bullock's past two games.
I sell that because getting back on is too fraught with danger. It was a disappointing performance from Bullock, but unlike a lot of other guys who have had that job the last couple of years, he has done enough to warrant an opportunity to come back from that game, unlike, say, a Michael Badgley or a Cairo Santos or some of the other guys we've seen come through here.
I'm with you in the fact that I think that he has deserved the benefit of the doubt, But I think also a big part of that is, like, we've done this enough. Like, we've been on the carousel enough. This has been such a persistent problem for the Titans that as soon as you get a good guy that you feel like you can rely on, don't jump ship at the first, you know, inkling at, you know, not doing his absolute best. I do think that the Titans maybe could look into buying tickets for the carousel, but they're not quite hopping on yet.
And they can be concerned. And they weren't brutal misses Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they both hit the right upright, which means they didn't miss by much, and whatever it was a problem. It wasn't a world of problems that you're thinking, this guy's just a mess. It's like, okay, let's fix this one little thing and you'll be fine.
To that, I ask you, when would it be time for the Titans to get back on the carousel? Would it take a, you know, Saints type of loss where their kicker misses both of the extra points and that kind of comes down to both of the extra points? That's the reason why you lose the game. Do you want to get to the point where you're losing games because of your kicker? Do you think you would ever get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, you lost the Jets game because you couldn't make a field goal at the end of overtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think another bad performance, maybe a failed attempt at a game. You know, I'm real curious about Sam Ficken. I said early in the season when Bullock took over and started, he took over from Michael Badgley and you know, got off to a good start. I said then, I thought, you know, I don't know the extent of Sam Ficken's injury, but it started to feel at that point like it's one of those things like, it's just never quite going to get right, you know, where you sort of just bury the guy on injured reserve this year and just and ride with Randy Bullock and let him do his thing, and next year you go back to Ficken. But, you know, if by chance that's maybe what the Titans have been doing, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe Sam Ficken's sitting there ready to come back at a moment's notice. If that's the case, that, you know, that makes it a lot easier. But again, they're jumping on that carousel is fraught with peril right now.
It's,
I think,
scary.
We've seen it.
It's a story that Titans fans know all too well. Buy or sell, Tannehill has yet to play his best game this season.
I am gonna buy that. I don't think we have seen the best of Ryan. We've seen some pretty good Ryan Tannehill this year, but I don't think we've seen we haven't seen the Tannehill we saw in 2019 or 2020. You know, hasn't had a game with he's only had one game with an average of 10 yards per attempt. He's only thrown multiple touchdown passes twice. There's certainly more there that we can get from him.
I would have to agree. I mean, it would be hard to see, you know, looking at what Tannehill has done so far this season, nothing that has really been incredibly spectacular, to think that he, like, the best is behind him, especially with so many games that are going to be so important. The Titans are going to need Ryan Tannehill to step up and start to play better games. But buy or sell, Titans go to the Super Bowl.
I'm selling that. I'll say this. I was on with Robbie and Rex Road yesterday morning, and I consider one of my strengths as a reporter is the ability to kind of stay focused on the big picture and, mm-hmm. and almost like a coach where you don't get caught up in the day-to-day. But this team has put me on the roller coaster this year. You know, a couple weeks ago, I really had it in my mind that I'm thinking, okay, I got a plan for a long January, and I have to think about how I'm going to cover the playoff weeks and what I'm going to do during the games and what more I'm going to do to, you know, and then after, you know, after Sunday, I'm sitting there thinking, well, these guys are done. They're going nowhere. You know, like, I can't, they have really twisted me up in terms of trying to sort through what they are or aren't, but I am going to sell on the idea that they are a Super Bowl team. I think they had a chance, very much so, but I think the injuries are going to be too much. It's just cost them in so many ways at this point.
And to that, I will follow up and ask, buy or sell, Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback that can get you to the Super Bowl.
I sell that. There's not a lot of those guys. There's not as many guys as you think, and I think we have seen without Derrick Henry that he is not the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, you know, he's you can win Super Bowls in this league with guys like that. Like I point to, you know, Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head coach, you know, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, but that was one of the great all-time defenses ever. And Jamal Lewis running the ball back there.
Joe Flacco, Nick Foles.
Yeah, but I'm going back to 2000 actually with Dilfer, and mm-hmm. and you know, I'm saying yeah, but those kind of guys. Yeah, I'm you know, on the quarterback scale, where Brady and Manning are at one end, and Super Bowl winning quarterbacks like Dilfer and Foles are at the other. I think Ryan Tannehill is much more toward the Dilfer side of things.
And that's kind of how it seemed throughout Tannehill's tenure. Is he's been in the perfect storm.
Yes,
he's had the perfect surrounding cast around him. That all he needed to do, and I say all he needed to do very lightly, because that's a pretty difficult task to ask you to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but is to manage the game, hold on to the football, make good decisions, and the cast around you will win the game for you.
And you know, every so often, make the right decisions, lead a 2-minute drive,
right, go play. Ahead.
You know, he did that. But in terms of being exactly on point every play, 60 minutes a game, 70 snaps, whatever the number is, it doesn't look like he's that guy.
That is Titans buy and sell with David Beauclair. I appreciate that. But coming up next, we will get into some of our picks for the night with Caroline's. Before we do that, allow me to let you know that you can tune into the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game is the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got a couple hockey games tonight. We've got some college. We've got some college basketball. So let's make some money on it. And with that, we will bring you some Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We got Rangers Flyers tonight. Give me the Rangers on the money line -185, because the Flyers have had a really tough skid the past few games. They've lost 7 of their last 8, and their last game they had a 5-2 loss against the New Jersey Devils. They're averaging just over 2 goals a game. Well, on the other hand, the Rangers are on a heater. They've won 7 of their last 8 games. They won their last game against the Bruins 5-2 last Friday. Now, both of these teams are coming off of a long rest because of their last game canceled because of COVID against the New York Islanders. But I think the Rangers are the hotter team. The Rangers are the Rangers' goaltender is better. He's currently posting a .933 save percentage, Igor Shesterkin. So give me the hot team. Give me the team that's on a heater. Give me the Rangers -195 on the money line.
Flyers GM just called out their team, though. That's the only thing that I would cause me to hesitate a little bit. I'm trying to look. Forget what exactly. What exactly was the phrase he used?
But GM lighting the fire under their butts a little bit.
The GM said something like, everything has to be better, but he said it more colorful than that.
Yes, I'm sure. A few words that aren't radio friendly.
But you don't you don't want to bet on a streak to end, and those are two teams that have streaks going so in opposite directions. So I would ride with the Rangers as well.
We've also got Memphis, Georgia college basketball game tonight. Give me Memphis -11.5. So last game, Memphis committed 27 fouls and had 22 turnovers in a loss against Iowa State, a game in which they were favored by double digits. Now, that would make you think, okay, well, Memphis, kind of undisciplined, has a turnover issue. But Georgia is scoring just around 70 points per game. They haven't surpassed the 65-point mark in any of their last 3 games. They're only shooting 65% from the free throw line. I think Memphis has more talent than Georgia, and I don't think that Georgia is a good enough team to be able to force those turnovers by Memphis. So I'm going to take Memphis with the points at Athens.
I mean, Georgia with a 4-game losing streak. You know, at Athens again kind of gives you pause, but I'm with you. I mean, Memphis. Penny Hardaway is a guy who knows how to kick you when you're down a little bit, and I think that's probably what he'll do here.
I have a tough time betting against Penny. But that is going to do it for us today. Caroline Fenton, David Beauclair, and for Jared Stillman, Smashville Live is up next.